Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I'm a psychotherapist and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you all for being here with me today. I'm delighted to have you. And we're here to celebrate life, to illuminate the heart, the mind, the body, and the soul. We have an amazing show today. The theme is seeing through the eyes of inspiration, which is just fabulous for us to be really opening ourselves to inspired living, because that's what really creates the joy, the happiness, and the motivation. And we're going to cover some great topics: creating the body that we love and overcoming obstacles like blindness and depression to soar and flourish. Yep, the eyes of inspiration. And I'm so very thrilled to introduce my first special guest, self-love and empowerment coach, Erica Watson. Erica supports women in creating the life and body that they love. She will share strategies for reconnecting with our body in a loving way, deepening our relationship with ourselves, and nourishing the body, the mind, and spirit to shed unwanted pounds. Erica, I am thrilled and so pleased to have you today on the show.
Thank you. It's such an honor and a blessing and to be here, and I'm super excited and inspired about what you're creating and for all the listeners here saying yes to themselves and their fullness in their life.
Oh, what a wonderful introduction. We're off to a great start, because I know, Erica, that people struggle with their body image. I mean, I do work with this all the time. And the starting point for weight loss is often a sense of discontentment. And there is an unfortunate and misguided common mindset that we need to dislike our body to change it. And if we like our body overweight, how will we be motivated to change? As a self-love and empowerment coach supporting women to create the life and the body that they love, what do you say to that mindset?
Yeah, well, you know, first, our thoughts, what we think we attract, and our bodies are made up of 70% water. And if you've ever heard of the experiment from Dr. Modo that he did on water, he took Buddhist monks and he prayed over water. And the messages, when the waters were in the containers that received love, flourished. They took pictures of the water molecules, and they were crystals, they were diamond shaped, they were healthy, they were glowing, and the water molecules that had been contained in negative images, in negative words, were sunken, they were yellow, they had black holes in them, they were unhealthy molecules. And so when you think about that experiment and you apply it to your life, you apply it to your body, you begin to realize how important staying in alignment with our joyful, positive thoughts become. And so that, as you mentioned, getting to that place of loving your body where it is right now is going to be so significant in being able to create and shift the body that you want to have. And also beginning to unlock the ideas around, okay, what is it that you think, you know, you will have by having a thinner body? You know, we've been kind of said all of these stories around, you know, success equals this. You know, Hollywood and images, et cetera, have been molding us to believe that in order to have love, in order to have abundance, in order to have happiness, that you have to fit into this ideal frame. But in actuality, if you were to go through years and histories of photos and images and what was popular in history at that time, you would see many different shapes. And so we have gotten into this this pattern of having to control and fit into something, and then that no longer works, and we have to control and to fit in something else. And all of that is outsourcing our joy to something outside of ourselves. And so now it's time to heart source and come back and reconnect with our internal wisdom, reconnect to God or spirit or higher power, and really learn how to connect to your body, because your body has an innate wisdom that knows how to feed, that knows how to nourish itself, and knows how to let go of that weight that is just really showing you parts of your life that need attention. And so often when we're not nourishing ourselves, we're not keeping our self-care a priority, that's when the extra weight starts to creep on. That's when our body goes into stress, and it's holding on because it's our way of protecting us. So the unwanted weight is not really something to hate. It's something to say, thank you so much for showing me that I need to look at my life deeper, and I need to take a step back and reprioritize what I'm focusing on, because obviously right now I'm not focusing on myself in the way that is the most loving and caring.
I think you've made so many really, really outstanding points there that stand out, and that the body is really talking to us, and we need to listen and not keep berating it, because that's not going to change if we go through the process of trying to create betterment by doing it in a way that beats us down and knocks us down. If we don't like our body in one way, we're not going to change our lens towards ourselves. So we really want to do it in a process that really builds ourselves up, and is changing from negative motivation to positive motivation, and seeing it as a message. And I really like that point, because I think that's so important, because it honors the self and it respects the self, and at the same time it allows you to hear and listen to the self and give the self what it needs, that it's not, that it's a result, it's not the cause. The weight is a result of that self-loathing or lack of self-care. And so more of that is not going to help you get there. More of that is going to keep you stuck or struggling or yo-yo dieting and never able to really achieve or rather sustain any goals. So I think your point and your approach is right on and so needed, and such an important approach to creating wellness for people struggling with weight and those issues. So
Thank you.
Do you help people get into that mindset? Because I think that's really, because when a person is locked into that, because again, I am pretty sure that you're hearing that all the time. They don't like how they look, they want to change it, and they're coming from, again, that negative motivation.
Right.
So do you get them to break that cycle?
I mean, there's, a few different steps, and I begin to explore some of those in the upcoming 40-day detox program that I'm sharing. But, the first thing is to really help people come back to this sacred space of offering them, like, this cocoon in which they're willing to reconnect with themselves. I have clients, both men and women, that can't even look at themselves in the mirror. Immediately, as soon as they do, they start pinpointing all of the things that they hate about themselves. They turn away in disgust, and they continue to live out the lie that they're unlovable, that they're ugly, that they're unwanted, and all the things that go with their association with how they look. And so the first thing that I really ask them to do is instead of continuing to live in that pattern, is to say, okay, we're going to take some time, and we're going to reconnect, and we're going to cultivate a loving relationship with ourselves. And that loving relationship doesn't happen just like that, right? It's like you have to get to know yourself. You have to spend time with yourself. You have to show up for yourself. And as you begin to build that level of trust again, that you're going to overwhelm around your body will actually begin to dissipate, because you're continually to showing up for yourself in a way that says, I am here, you can trust me, I'm going to show you the result of the love that you're showing me back. And it becomes this reflection. And right now, the reflection piece in the mirror continues to show you that hatred and that the things that you don't like, because that's how you're showing up to the mirror. So the first thing to do is to give yourself that grace of time and recommitment and trust. And this is where I think the journey of self-love and your body really begins to embrace and ask us to really step into a place of faith, and for me, sacred connection with my source and higher power. And so really looking at where am I disconnecting and out again, rather than going inward and spending that nourishing time with myself and with God and with my angels for myself personally.
Well, I think that what you're saying is essential for someone to sustain weight loss. I think that anyone can get out the gate, fad diet, for instance, and beat themselves up and try and get there, and they might get momentary, short-lived results, which is why 90% of people, 95 is an outrageous amount, regain all the weight.
Right, and you can, you know, those diets and the fads term, you know, maybe because you're cutting the calories right away or whatnot, but you're really actually doing a disservice to your body because it's not sustainable. Your body knows what it needs to survive, and so it's almost like you're going to be fighting yourself in that battle. You're creating a battle for yourself that you're going to continue to fight, and your body has a wisdom that's going to continue to say, no, I know what I need. And so you're going to be, you know, brought back into the trenches until you begin to learn how to become in harmony with your body and listen to it. And that is what's going to be sustainable. And that's what's going to help your metabolism function properly. You know, if you mm-hmm. teach your body to eat, you know, and live off of a deficit, then that's not going to be sustainable. That's like learning how, you know, that's like dying the slow death. So you need to come back into healthy functioning and healthy alignment with your body. And I promise that when you do that and you are truly in alignment with your body, that the unwanted weight will begin to shed as you're releasing the toxic ideas and the toxic behaviors that are keeping yourself stuck.
No, I think that it's the key, because you're getting outside of the mentality that it's all about calorie counting or just exercise, that it's really deeply embedded in how we're thinking and how we're feeling and our relationship with ourselves. And that's the key. That's the root of it. And that's the key to be able to sustain the change. And that's what we're all seeking to do, that is what we're all looking for in life, the things that sustain our wellness, not the quick fix. I mean, the quick fix, I think, is very seductive. We want immediate results. But it's really the sustaining things, the techniques and approaches that really create what we're actually looking for and give us the life that we're seeking, is the ability to sustain these things. And any program that really works at the root level versus just dealing with superficial quick fix and surface stuff is going to be gets you the results. It's going to sustain the results, not just get you out the gate.
Right, and the reason that we want that quick fix is because we have this idea of safety that lies in something else. We think that we need to have that overnight weight loss in order to achieve the success or the love or the worthiness, and yet it has nothing to do with that image. What it has to do with our own levels of self-worth. And so when we stop right here and say, okay, it doesn't need to look like anything drastic overnight because I am worthy of what I desire right now, that's where the game, you know, changes. I can remember, you know, at this pivotal point in my life when I was really looking at my thoughts and what I thought I needed to look like in order to receive the life that I wanted. And I remember just laughing because, you know, in my mind, you know, holding on to that extra 40 pounds meant that, you know, I didn't deserve love and I didn't deserve to be honeymooning somewhere. And, you know, and can you just imagine if I had placed that sort of rule on every single person? You know, you're like walking through Paris and you see couples that are, you know, more overweight holding hands, and you would think, oh, they don't deserve that. You know, it's like I was putting myself and everyone that was holding on to weight into like a concentration camp in my head, you know, of being unworthy. And that you can have what it is that you desire at any size. And once you embrace that you are worthy of it now, you can let go of that kind of overnight quick fix mentality, and you can step into the place of, okay, I'm going to step into the flow, I'm going to step into the harmony, and I know that with this this trust and this faith that I will get both the body and the life that I want.
Right, you're in process, so you're seeing it as a process, and so you know that you're capable of it, you know that it's within you to be it, yeah. It's already there, it's just shedding all of those knots and the layers, and figuratively and literally,
right,
that are holding you back. So we do have to, you're saying so many great points, Erica, but we're going to need to wrap up. Can you just give us a takeaway for the listeners that they can utilize in their life to achieve the body that they're seeking?
Sure. You know, the takeaway that I would have is to really come back to yourself, to come back to choosing to live in love, even when the fear or the doubt creeps up. Continue to choose love and positivity and for myself, my faith in every moment. And as you continue to stay in that sacred connection, you will be guided in the right direction and you will receive the body and the life that you love.
Erica, you've offered, again, lots of wisdom. You can connect with Erica at her website, lovedseenheard.com. You can connect with that link in the message board below. So, and Erica has a 40-day detox plan to release unwanted pounds and self-sabotaging patterns. Very powerful, called the Sacred Strut Rising. Love that name. So you can work with Erica wherever you are. She works with you online, so she's accessible everywhere. And again, her website, lovedseenheard.com. Erica, thank you so much for your time, your energy, your wisdom, and your commitment to creating more love in this world.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor, and I look forward to supporting anybody that feels called to step into their vibrancy and their fullness right now.
Thank you so much, Erica. Have a great day.
Thank you. Much love.
Lots of wisdom in terms of us achieving wellness in our life, and the base of it, self-love. We hear it all the time. We can't hear it enough. We need to practice it every day multiple times for us to really achieve the amazing life we deserve. We're taking a quick break, just a short one. You're not going to want to go anywhere because I have an incredible next guest, Life Goals Coach Max Ivy. He has so much wisdom to share. Stay tuned and stay with me. Be right back.
If you want the best way to heal from life's challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird. My next guest is Life Goals Coach and author Max Ivy. Max is the author of Leading You Out of the Darkness into the Light. Max is also a totally blind business owner, blogger, and podcaster, so he's very inspirational for us. He's here to share strategies for living inspired lives no matter the obstacles or challenges. Max, thank you so much for being here.
Well, hello. I appreciate you having me on the show and look forward to it. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Well, you have your life is so fascinating, Max. You lost over 250 pounds after having gastric surgery, along with eating healthier, regular exercise, and a positive attitude. And I love that you blend all those together. You're also a blind entrepreneur, and you decided to share your story, leading you out of the darkness into the light to inspire and motivate others. If you could reduce it to one thing, and I know that that might be difficult, but because I know there are different ones, but what mindset do you think is the key to overcoming obstacles so we can thrive in life?
I think the one thing that I see as my core belief, the thing I go back to whenever I have doubts or whenever things aren't going exactly the way I want them to, and I'm still committed to taking that next step. The one thing I go back to is do what you can today as well as you can do it today, and then do it better or do more tomorrow. And
uh-huh.
as long as I remember that, I can treat myself with love and kindness, even, you know, when I have that 1 minute or 5 minutes when I'm going, why did you do that? You know, why did you listen to that person? Or why didn't you take advantage of this when that was offered to you? And when I have those bad moments, and we all have them, even you
mm-hmm.
have them, I'm sure. That's the one thing I go back to is that, and I think that's part of the reason why, to me, what I do doesn't seem as big of a deal to me as it does to other people. I know that if you've
mm-hmm.
read part of my book or my blog, you know that I see myself as kind of a reluctant hero. I don't. It took a lot of people to convince me that my story needed to be shared and that I have an inspirational story, because to me
mm-hmm.
it's just doing the next thing that comes each day. And if, you know, trying to find a way to get to point B or C to, you know, when I started, I knew I needed a website, but I didn't know how to have one. So I started started asking people and started looking around online until I found some resources and people who could help me to where I could do it. So, but to me, it's all about just taking that next step that's in front of you. And sometimes I can do it, sometimes I can't. Sometimes I have to ask. Sometimes I just have to say, hey, Mike, you can't do that today, but maybe tomorrow or next week.
Well, I love the outlook because it's simple, but empowering at the same time. And what I mean by that simple is that you're able to just create a self-talk and a perspective that you can reach towards and repeat and connect with and utilize in your life. And we need to have every person and all of us as humans, we do need as many of these kind of like the toolbox for empowerment that we can tap into and pull out from. And because our critical minds and our self-judgmental minds are so strong, that I love that, because it's so beautiful when you're the basic that I'm doing my best today and I can learn more and I'm always growing. So you really see yourself as you're recognizing what more you can be, but here you are in this moment. So it encompasses everything. So I think it's a very powerful and very strong way that we can all tap into it, and we can learn from that, because you are living your life and moving through these multiple challenges and supporting us all in ours.
Yeah, and one thing you mentioned there that is important is you said self-talk. And as difficult as some of our friends or family may be sometimes, the most difficult criticism we ever face is the stuff we say to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people out there are very mean to themselves, and you have to realize the words that you say to yourself are just as powerful as the words people say to you in a conversation or an email or social media or wherever you happen to hear it.
Yeah, I 100%. And the thing is with the words in our head is that we're with ourselves 24/7. They may go away, but we're with ourselves. It's even happening when we're sleeping and dreaming. If we're beating up on ourselves, we'll do it even when we're sleeping, once you have conditioned that kind of self-talk. So it's very important, because then if you're mean to yourself, it's like living with an abuser. We really need to be able to own that part and work through it. So I applaud and appreciate what you're sharing with us today. So tell us a little more about your overcome. So how the process of losing 250 pounds and going through that kind of journey, because how do you feel that what do you think got you there through that? Because, I mean, whether it is an issue with weight or whatever obstacle, we pretty much the same techniques get applied for anything that we're trying to overcome, and we're all humans. That's part of our journey, overcoming challenges.
Yeah, well, I like the question. I didn't start with the gastric surgery, and I urge everybody out there to get physically healthy, because until your body is right, it makes it very difficult for you to achieve any of the big dreams that you have for yourself. I started by having a health emergency where I was forced to go see a doctor. The doctor determined that I had high blood pressure and a few other diseases, but the first thing that they determined was that I had sleep apnea and had probably had it since I was a teenager. And once we had the sleep study and started treating the sleep apnea with a sleep mask and compressed air, I started having more energy. I was much more alert. One of the side effects is lack of passion or losing desire for things that you enjoy. So after I had the sleep apnea treated, I found that I actually wanted to do some more things with my life and some different things than what I was doing at the time. And it was only a couple of years after that I got to the point where somebody said, you know, you're not making progress with your diet and your exercise. Would you consider going and hearing a seminar on gastric surgery? And I said, well, to me, gastric surgery is like giving up or quitting. And they said, no, it's just another tool, and we'd like you to go listen to the seminar. So I went and listened, and they explained it to me that, yes, some people do lose weight, whether they work or not, after they have it. But most people still have to diet. They still have to change their lifestyle. They still have to exercise regularly. And once I was convinced that it was just another tool that you use, just another tool in the toolbox, as you said, I bought into it. I went to all the classes. Anytime they showed us tricks or tips that would help us maintain our diet or maintain our what anything else related to losing the weight, I listened, and you know, I followed every day religiously. And you know, some of them were very simple. Like most people don't realize that just switching milk and juice for cheese or other light dairy or actual fruit can make a big difference in your weight loss plan. And that was just one of the things that I've learned over the, you know, but it was a, you know, as you, when you read it in the beginning there, there was a lot of it. You know, there was the diet, the exercise, the surgery, there was some counseling, there's a, we have a peer group.
So a lot of support. How much did you, do you feel that mindset played a role in not only going through this, but sustaining it?
I'm a 100% believer that mindset is critical. If you aren't at a point where you're ready to make the change in your life, if you don't have a positive attitude that this time it is going to work, then you might as well not even try. So my generally optimistic nature, along with my belief in the doctors and the nutritionists and the counselors, I was able to buy in, and you know, I'm living proof that it's working for me. Surgeries aren't the answer for everybody, but for some people, it's what it does take for them to get over the hump. Just like not everybody needs a coach to help them with whatever big goal it is they're going after. But some people have tried and failed, or they're trying right now and they're stuck somewhere in the middle of their process, and they just need somebody to help them have the dialogue where they can figure out what the next steps are, how to take them if they can, and who to ask for help from if they can't.
Max, are you a practitioner, and do you of gratitude in your life?
Yes, I definitely believe in gratitude. I like to say that the best thing about blessings is the more you count them, the more of them you have. And
so
I try to start every.
I was going to ask you, how have you felt that these challenges, your blindness, and your challenges with your weight have been a blessing in your life?
Well, I believe that I have grown so much from each one of the different challenges that they've prepared me for the next one. With my blindness, I went from having perfect vision to having a little less vision. In my lifetime, I've gone from reading regular print to having big glasses, to reading large print, to reading, to listening to tapes, and to reading Braille. So it seems like I've always been having to make changes and learn a new way to do things.
That's very inspiring, because you've the holding on to your gratitude and holding on to your sense of self and your empowerment and your positive attitude is just what so many, and that's why your story is inspiring. That's why I'm blessed to have you on the show here today, so that you can share for when others are going through their difficult times, that how powerful these simple things can be in our life with consistency, to so that we can really embrace and move forward and grow and come out on the other side stronger, more empowered, and feeling
right.
really
that's
good about who
it.
We are.
Yeah, that's the truth of it. The lessons aren't new. Most of the things that I'm telling them, or any of your other guests will tell people, they already know. They just need to hear it often enough, or hear it from the right person to where it actually sinks in and they do something with it.
So, you know, it's, and that's what we're I don't, we can never get enough, because your story will resonate with a person for what exactly where they are at this time. Max, you know, your life is inspirational, and your attitude is incredible, and it really goes back to showing how much our perspective really does move us along in life and help us just become, just, you know, live amazing lives and succeed. Max, what is your takeaway that you want to leave the listeners with, in terms of inspiring their lives?
I think the one thing I do is I get up every day expecting to find something good, either an event or a person and I look for the good and the positive in every opportunity. And as long as I'm looking for it, I will eventually find it. The problem is too many people don't get up the first thing in their morning thinking they're going to have something good happen to them today. Not everything's going to be good, but there's going to be at least one thing in my day where at the end of the day I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, that was the thing I was looking for when I got up today. That's the one good thing or the one good person. And they're there. You run into them every day, happen to you every day. But you have to be looking for them, because if you aren't looking, you aren't watching, you aren't waiting, you'll miss them or they won't happen at all.
Well, I love it, because what you're really saying is that the lens through which you're looking at your life and seeing your world is an inspired lens, and your sight is your perspective, and that's deeper than it's such a deep message. That's how we see things and view things that determines what we are actually seeing and experiencing. I thank you for all your inspiration. I know. Listeners, you can connect with Max on his website, theblindblogger.net. Again, his link is in the message board below. The amazing thing that Max has offered, and he can add to this too, is that when you download his book, Leading You Out of the Darkness into the Light, which is an amazing story and certainly very inspirational for all of us, you can email him to connect at justask@theblindblogger.net. And you can wrap up, Max, with just adding a few more comments about your emailing gift to people who are downloading your book and connecting further with you.
Yeah, I just want to let people know that we've all been there where we've listened to the audio or read the book or went to a seminar, and when we got home we couldn't do what we thought we would with it. And so I guess most people's advice, I decided to include the email address, justask@theblindblogger.net. I want people, as they're reading it and working through it, to either tell me how they're doing with it or to communicate if there's a point where they're stuck or they're not understanding it. I think the email address I have, justask@theblindblogger.net, tells people all they need to know. If I can help them with a simple answer, I will. If I think what they're going through means that we need to become a formal mentor and student, then we'll go from there. And I like to give out my phone number. It's 979-215-1770, 979-215-1770. I know most people don't do that when they come on these shows, but I figure it's a way I can let people know that I am approachable. I do want to help. It is a business and a practice, but at the end of the day, my goal is to help people.
Well, Max, thank you so much for your inspiration. Max is a life coach now, and he can support you wherever you are online. So certainly reach out to Max. He's offering so much support. And thank you for being a beacon of light in this world for us. Thank you for being with us today, Max.
Well, thank you for having me on, and thank you and other people for reminding me that part of the reason I'm here is to help others by sharing my story.
Many blessings.
Thank you. Many blessings to you, too, and have a great weekend.
You too, Han. Well, that was the biggest message takeaway is that it's how we see life that determines our sight. Our sight is not what we're looking at, but what we perceive and see. And let's turn that sight and that lens and that vision towards knowing our value and looking at the world through beauty and kindness and compassion towards ourselves and to others. I'm very thrilled that I have another amazing special guest, Pax Tandem. She's a wellness coach. She has a lot of insight to offer us. We're going to take a quick break. You don't want to miss Pax. Be right back.
If you want the best way to heal some life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird. My next guest is holistic wellness coach Pax Tandon. Pax is here to share strategies and how we can work through the dark spaces of life to flourish and thrive. Thank you, Pax, for being here. I am delighted to have you.
Thank you, Dr. Bird. It's lovely to be here.
So, Pax, depression is a common mental disorder. Globally, more than 350 million people of all ages suffer from depression. Depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide and is a major contributor to the global burden of disease. Most people don't even understand this or even think about it, and we certainly have such a taboo topic. And more women are affected by depression than men. At its worst, suicide can come about as a result of the depression, and an estimated 1 million deaths every year. So this is a really important topic, and I know, Pax, that you have had part of your life experience has included major depression. So such a topic that we need to really talk about and expose and create hope for. How do you work through your dark spaces of your life to now flourish, not just survive it, but flourish and thrive?
Great questions and very important. As you said, there are so many dots to connect here. To go from just surviving to thriving, right? And that's a big part of the work that I do, is how to inform people of what this process is about and how to do it. And the point being that happiness is really not about who you are. It's about what you do. These are skills and techniques and practices that you can put into play in your day-to-day life to ramp up your happiness. So coming back to, you know, sort of the personal side of the story, I did suffer a major depression at age 14, and I lived in a dark, dark world.
Mm-hmm.
And this world was a privileged one, you know, as most people would see it. I mean, I was blessed with amazing parents, and I went to a private school, you know, very, very good education, very solid academics, and yet I was faltering. And that's just allowed me to see over the course of time how easy it is for someone, for a human being, to kind of falter and then to start spiraling downward. And in the absence of education, of these skills, of these techniques, you know, and that's just knowledge, but in the absence of that knowledge or somebody kind of championing for that knowledge, you know, a coach like me, you don't know how to pull yourself out of it. And that creates this downward spiral, and that's what we're seeing now. You said it. Depression is really an epidemic now. Why do we treat heart disease, which is one of the leading causes of death in this country, the way we treat it so seriously? I mean, and there's a whole institution around this, right? Propaganda. Mm-hmm. Our health system is predicated around how to fix these issues. There are pharmaceuticals to no end around treating this. And we take it seriously, but for some reason, our mental health, almost because we can't see inside our psychology, we don't give it as much credence. And it's funny, it's ironic, because, in fact, depression leading to suicide is the second leading cause of death in our young people. Second only to driving accidents, right? And so we have to really look at this, and I was one of those teenagers who really, really sunk down, and part of my goal is in the education, you know, so that we can inform people of the things that they can do to start buffering against natural tendencies toward depression and anxiety, you know, and this epidemic that we're now in.
Well, we need to make it okay rather than a shame and a humiliation or an embarrassment. It is nothing to be embarrassed about. It's not a shame. Anyone who is suffering needs support, needs help, and it doesn't mean something is wrong with you or you're messed up. It really means that you need support, you need love, you need help, you need guidance. And we need to make it okay and just open up that conversation and remove the taboo around it or the shame around it, because it's growing and growing and it's global. So, and
absolutely. Hashtag truth bomb. Preach, Dr. Bird. You just said it. And there is so much stigma around around feelings of depression and unhappiness. And the point is that we're all human. We're made up of the same compounds and chemicals, and therefore they can all go out of balance. You know, if they can go out of balance for me, and I've been there, and trust me, I'm there in my day-to-day life. It's not that now I'm immune to it. I'm a human being. We're all just human beings, you know, and we have chemicals in our bodies that create certain scenarios. Sometimes that's happiness. Sometimes it's depression. And you just have to know what to do. We all deal with it. We all go through it. And we're all going to have moments that are sometimes darker, perhaps. And it's in those moments that we should know how to leverage, you know, what we can do to make ourselves happier again. It's that simple.
Well, that's the key, that we know that we can empower ourselves through it. Because the depression, when you're in a depression or you're in a down moment, the eyes that you're looking at the world is really through a hopelessness and a helplessness. And so we need to really break through that feeling that you can't change and really inspire people with the knowledge that and understanding that it can change. It's just getting the support and help that's needed, and there are so many ways to that. So let's talk about that now. So we've already identified that, hey, it's happening. A lot of people are suffering. Let's remove the stigma. It's okay. You're not to blame. Nothing's wrong with you. You know, you're not a mess. You just need support. What's the support? What do we do next?
So in my practice, in my awareness, you know, all of the things that I've explored to really answer the question of what it takes to live a flourishing life really lead to five cornerstones of this flourishing existence. And the first one that I point out is very, very, you know, concertedly. You know, I do that because it is the most important when we're talking about the topic of depression, and that is exercise. So,
Beautiful.
I will wake up some mornings. You know, and people don't really give that as much weight as maybe they might say. I'm a depressed person and I need, you know, some kind of drug or SSRI or what have you. Side effects, you know, as we know. And exercise is a very empowering thing. So I'll wake up some mornings and before, you know, my brain is really adept now at talking myself down from that metaphorical ledge. So if I wake up in the morning before I even have that self-talk to say, you know, do this, do that, practice gratitude, what have you, I may have these feelings of higher anxiety or depression. And that just happens to me in the morning. That's the way I'm designed. Well, the one thing I know now to do is get my butt down to the gym or outside for a bike ride, whatever it is that's going to get my heart rate up a little, because that correlation from heart rate to endorphins is very strong. Endorphins are the happy chemicals in our body. So what ends up happening is I'll go out for this bike ride or I'll do some cardio, burst of cardio and some weight training. An hour later, I can't even connect to feelings of sadness. It's almost like it was a different person living in a different world. That's how stark the contrast is between waking up in that space and then taking that hour to get that cardio in. It's that immediate and it's that effective to the extent that I'm like, wait, who was that girl? Who was that girl an hour ago at 7:30 in the morning feeling like she just had nothing to live for? You know, and that's an extreme example, but it's a reality many of us face. And this is the reason I underscore the exercise component.
I totally agree with you. I regularly exercise in my life. It's my lifestyle, so... And I do all kinds, and I love my yoga, and I love it all. So, and I know that I just do it at home. There's so much available online everywhere. You can just get up and do it at home. I think the problem is that when you're feeling down, that's the last thing you want to do. How do you get up? Like when you're down, that's the last thing your
impulse is to
do nothing. What gets you able to actually get up and do it?
Great question. Accountability. So that leads into one of my other five components, which is coaching, you know, to have somebody that you're accountable to. And this is a big part of the reason why I have so much success with my clients, because there's an accountability piece set up, right? It is hard to do those few things that you know will create that shift. So you need to have somebody that's championing for you, that's encouraging you, that you're accountable to. In my world now, you know, I have my own coach because it's so vitally important to have that kind of person in your life. And if it's not going to be a coach, you know, once a week I have a friend that I work out with at 7 in the morning every week on a Thursday morning like clockwork. And because I'm accountable to going downstairs because I know she'll be there and I know the trainer will be there, right? And so that gets me out of bed on mornings. I have not wanted to get out of bed. I've had a late night before. I wake up extra kind of weighed down by something in life that's happening, life circumstances, things like that. But because I know they're downstairs waiting for me, I get down there and I do it. And like I said, an hour later, I can't even connect to those feelings anymore. I feel like I'm walking on a cloud, you know, and that's endorphins. That's what happens in the body. These happy chemicals are released, and it just completely levels you out again. You know, and that's a big part of what I underscore, that we're just walking energy beings with all of these chemicals and things floating around. And so it's not about getting down on ourselves. It's about recognizing that and saying, okay, it's a chemical process. How do I intervene in this in a very healthy way, as in not drugging myself out with alcohol or various other pharmaceuticals or things like that, but finding healthy routes to this flourishing so that I become empowered by them, right? And they become a way of life without the side effects.
No, that's a really good point and a really strong one, to find support however you find it, and I think and look for it, because sometimes a person listen to this, they might be in an environment where they don't feel they're getting support and they don't have a lot of support, but it's there by looking for it. Find the people that can support you, look for it, and don't give up. And because that's the key. And that's a really good point. So
another one of the five pieces of this, right? And this is a perfect segue, what you just said, into another piece, which is mindfulness. When we're talking about support and finding the right support, most of what we need is sitting right inside ourselves. In fact, all of it, but sometimes we don't know how to recognize it. And that's why a big part of what I advocate for and teach is mindfulness. I teach this to my clients. I've been having regular meetups in Philadelphia every month to just teach people how to do this practice because it's so vital. And in fact, I'm having a meetup next week, Wednesday the 20th, 7 p.m. This is a Google Hangout. Anybody, anywhere
so
can join us.
With you anywhere, right.
And learn how to practice, you know, and learn how to do this for themselves. That's what I want. I want people to receive all of this and have autonomy around it, so that there aren't dependencies to, let's say, a therapist for the next 20 years or a certain antidepressant for the next 10 years. You know, that you can leverage all of these tools and techniques, especially the mindfulness, because there's no intermediary there. You don't need to be in any particular house of worship. You don't need anyone in the middle telling you how to do this. There's no dependencies, right? So it's just you and your practice. You may need someone like me to help guide you in the beginning, you know, to work with you on how to do this and how to practice and encourage you to stay with it. But eventually it becomes your own, and then it's about you and your practice. And the more you do that, the more you realize it is all internal and it's all inside you. You have control. You know, that's the huge piece of this. It, you have complete control over your own happiness. There are choices. There's education. You put all of that into place, and you start to see what this flourishing existence in life is all about.
Well, I think it's what you're saying is so important, because it's giving the bringing it all together, exercise, the mind, bringing it. We need to come at it from every possible angle, not just one. We need to
holistic.
Be holistic, integrated, and that's how we can get real movement happening, and that and it's not just something that we just have to do on our own. In fact, we're encouraged not to do that, and you offering this online and people finding you, it's available for us wherever we are, and that's the hope that we want to provide and the support that we want, the message that there is hope, there is support, and it's going towards it, not moving away from it, not being scared of it and not being ashamed of what's going on in you, and that there are a lot of people also struggling. So I think thank you so much for that. So what's been for you, so you talk about exercise, you talk about mindfulness, is there anything else that you are tools that people need, that maybe a third one as well, we actually gave three already. So the connection,
yes,
to exercise and mindfulness. Those are the
We're
three
just
things
checking
that are
all
really
the boxes
empowering.
And running down our list. Yes. there are many. And, you know, as you know, I studied something called positive psychology at the University of Pennsylvania. So this is what I'm very versed in. Have a lot of expertise in. Now I'm editor of a website called AuthenticHappiness.org, all about
nice.
Educating people on the science of positive psychology. There are many scales and assessments there. You can go there. Again, autonomy. You can take these scales and figure out where you are on the spectrum of happiness or your satisfaction with life. Figuring out what your strengths are. That's called the VIA. And a lot of research went into this over the last several years. And,
wow.
And it's all free. So, you know, I encourage our listeners to go and
nice.
Check this out and empower their own flourishing. But the science of positive psychology really is about what enables individuals and communities to thrive. So at the beginning, we talked about surviving versus thriving. Well, this is all
yeah.
about how to hit that plus sign. And that's what this science is all about. And this is what I'm an expert in now. You know, how to teach people this science. I'm just a vehicle for it. You know, going through that whole process in my own life has just allowed mm-hmm. me to be my own best experiment. You know, so before
mm-hmm.
I started learning all this material, before I went to graduate school, before I really started to embrace all of the different routes to this science,
mm-hmm.
I had no idea how impactful it was. And now on the other side of it, you know, now that I've really received it, it's like a part of my fiber. Now I can give that to their people with full confidence, you know, that I know exactly how these systems play out. And I know, you know, in depth what the research is about. And it really is a science of flourishing. I mean, these are just tools and techniques from positive psychology that help us live lives that are joyful, that are impactful, that are happy. And ultimately, that's what we all want. Right, I've never
and
met
that's
somebody
what we
where
exactly.
It's our human right, you know, to find that joy. And we lose it, especially in this world now of social comparison with all of the media. You know, it's easy to look at someone else's life and say, they're just lucky. They have it all and I have nothing. And to compare ourselves and get down on ourselves, and that ramps up the anxiety, it increases the depression. And in this world of technology, which is so rampant, we need to know how to find that balance again. And so there are vehicles like me to help teach you how to do that. There are resources like this website that I'm editor for, AuthenticHappiness.org, my own website, PaxTandon.com. You can find a wealth of information there, as well as how to reach out to me, you know, if you're seeking it. Then there are resources, and that's the point. You know, to reach out to the folks that can hold your hand and pull you forward and educate you on how to do this for yourself so that you can then achieve this flourishing existence for you. You know, my ultimate goal is to affect mass positive change on this planet. And that's not going to happen if I've got you sitting in my office for the next 10 years, you know, dependent on that 1 hour a week to be happy. No, what I want is to teach you what you need to know so that going forward you can live your happy life and you can teach your family members and your friends, your children. The best gift that you can give your children is to be educated on how to do this so that you can pass it on to them.
Well, Pax, you have... your wrap up there was just beautiful, let me say. And I think that the strong message here is that you're not alone. when we're struggling, when we're going through a difficult time, whether it's depression or fear or whatever it is, you're not alone. There is support, and you have some incredible resources, your authentichappiness.org, your website, Paxton Dunn. That's right. I know.
Correct. And then Instagram and Twitter. Our social media, you know, that we so often use for feeling bad, my social media is all about helping you flourish. So at Pax Tendon on Instagram and Twitter, you know, if you follow me there on a daily basis, you'll get those tools, upliftment,
and
flourishing.
Then you have the link. So Pax information is in the link below in the message board, so everyone can click onto her, and she works with you wherever you are online. So you can access these incredible resources. Pax, your message, your content, your information has been just totally inspiring, and we bless you for your time and your energy and your incredible work that you're doing in this world for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and bless you for your voice in giving this to all of your listeners. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you, hon. Have a wonderful day.
You as well. Happy weekend. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, we had lots of insight into creating inspiration, lots of awareness in terms of how we can understand if we're struggling and that we're not alone. There's always hope. The resources are there, and we provide you with lots of resources and opportunity for creating the amazing life that you deserve. And remember that sometimes you do have to go out on that limb to achieve this happy, healthy, and successful life that you absolutely deserve. I'm Dr. Nicola Bird. To get more insights in how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, www.thewellness-network.com. Join my mailing list. Share the joy with everyone, with your friends, your family, and I have amazing people on the site providing content, information, and it's amazing tips for creating an amazing life. Thank you so much again. We'll see you right here tomorrow for another entertaining and insightful segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.